And what is the old Do Land?
It's a weekly podcast on our network, the AS21 Podcast Network.
And this is the podcast from which Rabbi Swamley has illegally sold shares?
Yes.
Has he profited from any of these sales?
Not that we know of.
Have you made any profit from the show?
No.
How long has it been on the air?
Nearly a year now.
Every week?
No. Just every week for the last few.
Precisely how long?
Last 2, maybe 3 weeks.
Why did you make it a weekly podcast?
We decided the monthly podcasts were too much work.
I see.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I got lost and the battery in my phone died. The elevator was broken. I just ran up 14 flights of steps. All right, how late am I?
54 minutes, but it's all right. I'm billing by the hour.
Oh, f*** you, you f***.
It was a room temperature February of Northern California, a climate so temperate even the rich go without using the air conditioning for years at a time. Nevertheless, Bob insisted on installing a top-of-the-line AC unit for those exceedingly rare occasions the Katz's needed use. It's hard enough explaining to Goyim that Jews operate on a different calendar than the rest of the world and that our new year is in September rather than January. So it's a good idea not to confuse them still further by telling them that in Exodus, Hashem ordered a new year to begin roughly 2 weeks before Passover. But if you really want to make a Gentile's head explode, try explaining to them that Jews believe that every year is really 4 years. According to the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah written in Israel between the years 190 and 230 Common Era, the first 4 new years are on the first of Nisan, the new year for the kings and for the festivals. On the first of Elul, the new year for the tithing of animals. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon say, on the first of Tishrei, for the sabbatical years and for the jubilee years and for the planting and for the vegetables. On the first of Shavuot, the new year for the trees, according to the words of the house of Shammai, the house of Hillel says, on the 15th thereof. But unlike your usual Goyish metaphysics, there aren't many weird mind-stretching games at work. Just a pragmatic, if rather Byzantine, laying out of legal determinations based on pragmatic consideration. What we call Rosh Hashanah is in fact just the new year of the seasons, or at least it is according to Rabbi Eliezer, whom his contemporaries honored so highly they excommunicated him. The Torah says hardly anything at all about Rosh Hashanah except in Leviticus, whose brief commentary on the day we've considered the head of the year for the majority of time since the Torah's reception is that the first of Tishrei is a day upon which a horn is sounded. The first of Nisan, 2 weeks before Passover, is considered the new year on the civil calendar. It is, perhaps oddly from a modern point of view, the new year of measuring the reigns of kings, both Jewish and foreign, which was necessary in olden times because legal documents were always marked by the year of the current king's reign. And even if Rosh Hashanah is the new year for the seasons, it is the first of Nisan that is considered the beginning of farming sabbaticals. The Shemitah, which Jewish farmers must observe every seventh year to let their land lie fallow and free, according to Leviticus, a passage which of course provides that extremely misused quote on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, and thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land. And the first of Nisan is also the day for which the yearly tithes are due, the Maaser, the 10% tax on vegetables and grain. Who knows? Maybe all this complication serves as a partial historical explanation for all sorts of things, from why taxes are always due around the same time as Passover, a fact that causes endless stress to generations of Jewish accountants, or why financial years always start exactly halfway through the year. Either way, it's difficult to understand why Rosh Hashanah is significant when every important milestone seems to center around exactly 6 months later. Then there's the first of Elul, the new year of the cattle. Yes, cattle have their own year. Yearly tithes of cattle have to be made from 1 year to the next of cattle born from the first of Elul, which generally starts around mid-August to the next. And finally, perhaps most specifically, the 15th of Shavuot, Tu Bishvat, which, as was said in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, is disputed between the first and 15th of Shavuot. But regardless of what the House of Shammai thought, our sages have long since ruled that the 15th of Shavuot is the day for designating fruits as orlah, meaning that they're forbidden to eat because they are grown within the first years after the tree's planting, or literally meaning uncircumcised fruit. What an amazing religion. The importance of fruit in Judaism cannot be overemphasized. Just take the first 3 verses of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful,
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And while the golem reads on the front porch, the rest of the frummies huddle in the backyard around a small cedar sapling meant to bring a touch of the Holy Land's supernal emanations to Anais Sedum. For es ist zu beschwat, and they will pile into the Freilich's two full-size vans and a third rented one to make their way to plant it in Golden Gate Park. Bethany makes her way to the backyard as anonymously as possible with Christina in tow to translate. But amidst the dancing and the singing, you don't have to speak Hebrew or Yiddish to make out Golden Gate Park and Middle Drive West. Bethany immediately rushes into the house to Doyle, Ian Grayling, a virgin surgeon coined Ang Grayling in middle school for his nerdy spaz attacks, but has since taken to his parents' unwatched and always replenished liquor cabinet, and then to Weed from his connection to upperclassmen, then college dropout Jeff Hirsch, and in ninth grade metamorphosed his awkward, nerdy, 5'6" self into the kind of cool that only a scion of American privilege of centuries can attain so easily with label clothes, adolescent athletic ability, and trained Protestant reserve passed down for 5 centuries. 6'2½", petit bourgeois rebellion, shoulder-length hair, earring to his left, and turned 16 last month. Sneers forbids us from telling how far Grayling already got with Bethany, but he was looking to get further and most certainly would, as he'd already gotten, with no less than a dozen other girls just at San Francisco Friends since the summer. Bethany, though, was different. She has that effect on people. And in her familiar presence, he still feels the unfamiliar glow of possibilities only teenagers feel, less about sex than about truth. In middle school, he was once the picked-on, learning-disabled kid of his grade, but Bethany befriended him, tutored him, defended him, and in ninth grade, he returns the jock of his class. She demands a ride to Golden Gate Park, and in a hurry, Ian arrives in his Acura Integra 40 minutes later. They drive recklessly to Bethany's relief and find a gaggle of police cars lined up on Middle Drive West with lights flashing. All these black hats are handcuffed while three of them are screaming. One of them has just been bloodily thrown to the ground with a policeman's foot on him. Call your uncle. What? Call your uncle right now! James Grayling V. Jimmy is a 12-year chair of the Committee on Government Audit and Oversight in the San Francisco City Council, member of both the Committees on Public Safety and Neighborhood Services and the Public Utilities Revenue Bond Oversight. And he owed Reverend Mary for hosting the homeless and women's shelters, which First UU founded last year, mostly at its own expense. Surely he'd drop any charges against 30 Orthodox Jews rather than risk an accusation of anti-Semitism against the San Francisco police. Bethany tells Ian exactly what to say. The conversation is 15 minutes of holding on the line, 3 minutes of talking. She then uses Ian's car phone to call home. Mary wasn't there, and for the first time in her life, she screamed at Bob with the demand for him to post more than $500,000 in bail immediately. Could any other 15-year-old ever be trusted the way Bob trusts Bethany? The scream from the open window catches the attention of Rabbi Freilich as his head is tucked into the back of the police car. He recognizes the voice of the Freilich and Medela and smiles to himself with what he takes to be Hasidisha wisdom and gratitude. The Kaddish Baruch Hu is looking out for them, and he says a Shehecheyonu in the back seat. 10 minutes later, Bethany, excited by her own abilities, takes Ian into 90 seconds of heaven. She can't wait to tell Christina about it. Even Mary is slightly livid with her. It takes money and favors to launch projects, and now it'll take at least another 2 years to launch her dream of a fair housing lobby for California migrant workers. All for the benefit of neighbors who won't give her the time of day. 5 days later, that Friday evening at exactly 5, just before another camping trip, a giant horn of fruit appears on their easternmost porch lounge in the midst of the beautifully arranged cornucopia, a cart. May your family grow and prosper like the fruit on the tree of life. Peace unto our neighbors in holiness, the Freilichs. Mother from me! Bob has no idea if he said it out loud.
Can you tell us more about Herbert Swamley? What kind of person is he? how he managed to embezzle funds.
Well, to be fair, we don't know if he embezzled any funds. And to tell you the truth, I kind of doubt he'd know how.
So you think this is incompetence rather than malfeasance?
With Swamley, the two seem to go together.
Can you tell us things about Mr. Swamley that might help?
Well, I suppose the most relevant bit of information about Rabbi Swamley is that he's trans-religious.
He's transsexual?
No.
Intersex?
Not at all.
Transvestite?
Not to my knowledge.
Does he think himself transracial, like Rachel Dolezal?
No. He's trans-religious. He thinks he's Jewish.
But he's not.
No. He is, and not only did he convert, but then he got an adult bris, and now he's a licensed moyel.
How is he trans-religious, then?
Well, he grew up a religious Lutheran in northern Minnesota, but he speaks with an Israeli accent. He uses all kinds of Yiddish words, and he has the general demeanor of a Jew.
Well, a demeanor is not something admissible in a court of law.
Oh, I think this one would be.
How do you mean?
You'd have to experience it to understand.
How did you and Rabbi Swamley meet?
I don't know, honestly. I've known him my whole life. He was just part of the furniture in my childhood.
Does your family know him?
Yes.
How do they feel about him?
Both warmly and with contempt.
Would that describe your feeling towards him?
Well, it's much, much, much closer to contempt lately.
Can you give us a rendering, in your words, of how he started selling off shares?
That's not really possible.
What isn't?
I think Charlotte means that he can't give a rendering of how Swamley does what he does.
You mean how he began to sell your shares?
No, really, just anything about him. You can't describe his mental process except to say that it's like a hurricane.
I see. So you think he has some sort of personality disorder?
One would be charitable.
Why then did you decide to let him be on your show?
I didn't.
Excuse me?
It was entirely Swamley's doing. Multiple phone calls and messages every day asking me to give him a role on the podcast until I relented.
What role did you give him?
I started by letting him read our social media pages out loud and using his contacts as a rabbi to book speakers for us.
How would you describe his reading of social media?
I suppose the best word would be egregious.
And what speakers did he book?
He actually booked us ones who should have been very good.
Like whom?
Well, among them was Marvin Vitebsk, who's a neoconservative intellectual and operative.
How would you describe his speech?
Vitebsk's speech, it ended with hitting me over the head with a 2x4.
And apparently Rabbi Swamley hit someone over the head with a 2x4 as well.
Yes, I thought then that Swamley would kill me, to be perfectly honest, but it turns out it was an elaborate rabbinic allegory.
And then there was this incident with Professor Zuckerman Rabinovich?
Yes.
I have to ask again. Do you think there was any malevolence on Rabbi Swamley's part along with stupidity?
Well, I keep saying this, but with Swamley, you can never separate the two. No, I told them to get a permit. That Tuesday, 4 days later, 4 p.m, Simcha Maya Freilich says his first articulate words to Bethany, Felicity Kentz. It had been well over a month since Bethany begun to resent Simcha for refusing more potential ministrations. These Nars think they can just plant a tree in a park and nobody will mind. No? What's a Nar? Nar, it's a simpleton, an idiot. Your family isn't idiots. No, then how did they end up making your father pay to bail out people he hates? No, how much was it? $500,000? My father doesn't hate your family. No, of course he does. Your father talked to mine this morning. Chabad's wiring every dollar back, and they offered to send 18% more. No, of course they did. 18%, no? All that guilt, no, and not a cent of it for actual tzedakah. What does tzedakah mean? Charity, no? It's all controlled by the machas in Brooklyn. Money means nothing to them, while mama can barely pay the groceries. But you have 2 townhouses. They decide what we pay for. We have no say. They want us to live in a painting of the Rebbe in front of the San Francisco Painted Ladies? No, what are we going to say? No? That's not right. No, it's just as well. We're morons, no? Oh, my God. No, name. No, where you are. Try giving my parents money. No, they wouldn't know what to spend it on. Your parents aren't morons. No, sure we are. I'm sure your parents would use it for good things. No, you're the one who figured out how to get us out of jail. No, your father shouldn't have been in jail. No, we're in jail every day. Who's we? No, you don't get it. You keep referring to your parents as though they're yourself. No, you really don't get it. I'm trying to understand. No, you wouldn't. You hate your family? No, sometimes. But you refer to them as though they're yourself. No, maybe you can get it. No? Why do you keep saying no? No, why not? Why don't you love them? No? Can't you love us and hate us at the same time? No? What do you mean? No? Don't you ever have complicated feelings about people? No? What? No? Don't you ever want to kill people you love? No? Huh? No? Don't you ever get so mad at people you love that you wish they were dead? That's a horrible thing to say. No, you really aren't one of us. People might be nicer to you. I know us better than you do. No, we're not nice people. Really? We're commanded to love each other, but sometimes you hate the things you love. No, I don't. No, you probably will one day. You like to try to make people angry, don't you? No, look around. People should be angry. No? Well, you're not making me angry. Not yet. No? I've always thought that when people are mean to each other, they just need someone to be nicer to them. It's like a cry for help. No? Do I look like I'm crying? No? No? You have. MS. I bet your Tata understands what it's like to hate the things you love. No? What? No? What? No? How much was it anyway? How much? How much did he pay for the bail? No? I shouldn't say. Come on, no? Tell me. I'm going to find out anyway. No? Nobody in this place can keep a secret. I still shouldn't tell you. Well, no, no matter how much it was, no. And it could have been $1 million, no. It wasn't that much. No, however much it was, your Tata had no idea he'd get a nickel back. He's an amazing person. I'm sure part of him is if he did that, no. Part? No, we all have our Yetzers for good and evil, no. My dad isn't evil. No, sure he is. So are you and me, no. We all have our inclinations for evil and good, and part of us wishes badly to everyone we meet, no. My family doesn't wish badly to anybody. No, I'm sure you and your mother don't. I'm sure you and your mother don't. No? But my dad? No, I'm sure your Tata wishes ill on lots of people. No? You don't know my dad. He'd give away all his money if he thought it would help people. No? Well, I'm sure that isn't true, but thank him for us all the same. No? You really did a beautiful thing. No? I did a beautiful thing? It was you who got them out of jail, not him. No? My Tata saw you in the park. No? Oh, you must have a high opinion of yourself. No, that's not very nice. No, you're too nice. I just did what anybody would in that situation. That isn't true either, but you would. No, well, maybe I just did what anybody should do. No, but they don't. I think you're wrong. No, no, don't underestimate how rare you are. Really, I just did what I had to do, but you shouldn't have had to do it. No. My mishpacha shouldn't have done something to get them arrested in the first place. No? No, but they didn't deserve to be arrested. No, sure we did. No, do you really think that? How did we think we weren't going to be arrested? No? Did we really think we could plant a tree and sing and dance without drawing attention to ourselves? No? No, what's wrong with drawing attention to themselves? Look at us. No? What's wrong with them? We're defacing public property. No? No, weren't they just trying to make the park more beautiful? Nobody wants beauty, no? No, that's so not true. Uh-uh. No, that's so not true? No, closer. That's so not true, no? No, there you go. If people want a beautiful life, why do they destroy it? Your family doesn't seem like they destroy beauty, no? No, is that why you stalked them all the way to Golden Gate Park? No? I wasn't... All right, I shouldn't have done that. No, probably not. I didn't think I was stalking them. I'm so sorry. No. It was Bashet, no? You were supposed to be there, and we were supposed to forgive you, no? But you don't? No, we're supposed to forgive you. You were destined to be there, no? You'd have been there no matter what. Oh, no, even if it was creepy. Like I said, I'm so sorry. No. It's just weird how much you love my family, no? They seem to enjoy life so much, no? No, what we do isn't living. No, what is it? No, how should we know? It's all we've ever experienced. No? No, so how should you know it's not living? No? No, look at us. We're robots. No? No, what do you mean? No? Sort of. No, we're machines. We wouldn't know how to do anything but what we do. No? No, but it seems to make them so happy. No? No, it doesn't. Well, it definitely doesn't seem to make you happy. No? No, what does my happiness matter? No, I feel sorry for you. We don't deserve your pity, no? No, you sound like you need somebody's pity. No, I have our pity. It just makes us meaner. No, no, why do they feel sorry for you? No, you see the hunch in my back. You see how I walk. No, no, well, that's not your fault. No, no, tell us that. They shouldn't hold that against you. No, no, I can't walk straight. I can't dance. I can't turn my head right. It's not your fault that you've got these problems. No, they're not problems. No, that's great. No, no, you don't understand. It means that my soul is more beautiful. I'm sure that's true. No, no, what do you mean you're sure that's true? You don't know the first thing about us. No, no, I'm sorry I said that. What do you mean? No, I mean that even if our customs tell me my soul's more beautiful because my body's ugly, everybody hates me because I'm supposed to be better than them. No, well, that's not right. No, no, who cares whether it's right? You're not ugly. No, no, it's just the way we are. Maybe you just need people to be nicer to you. No, no, who's going to make us nicer? I can be nicer to you. No, we wouldn't believe you. Pretty soon you're going to end up just like your father. No, no, what's wrong with that? Your father does the right things, but when we sent him the fruit basket, he cursed us out. No? What? No, don't worry. Nobody heard it. You did. No, it was Bashert. He hates us like everybody else, but he paid all that money because somewhere in him there's still a part that loves us, and whether or not you know it, you're the same way. No? You don't know me. No, I know enough to know that this is what everybody eventually thinks of us. They start by loving all the singing and dancing, and it makes them do all sorts of things for us. But it's a scam, and eventually they resent us because they do good deeds they do for us. That can't be true. No, they're right to hate us. They don't hate you. No, we're not going to give you a whole history of our people, but we're Apikorsim. We're the worst Apikorses in Judaism. Your people are better Jews than we are. What? The worst heretics in Judaism. But why am I the only person you can tell this to? No, look around. Who here wants to know we're wrong? Well, why can you tell me? No, I don't know. You seem like a tzedekis, a righteous person, which is more than we are. No, I didn't really do that much. Really? No, you spend $500,000 often? I'm sure your family would do the same for us. We wouldn't after we found out Mrs. Katz is a Unitarian minister. No. You can't believe your family are horrible people. No, at this point, I would believe anything at all. At what point? No, you wouldn't understand. Try me. No? No, it's better you don't get involved. No? Well, you've been talking to me for a while. No, I guess you're right. This is the longest conversation I've had in weeks. We're not supposed to do this. No, so why are you talking to me? No, why not? You're not supposed to. Not for long, but it makes us forget we're wrong about everything else. No? I'm sorry, who's we? No, the Chabadniks you see around here, my family. But you don't think you're wrong? No, I'm a Freilich. What I think doesn't matter. But you think what you want to say? No, no, I say what I want to think. What? No, I told you wouldn't understand. So you just say what you don't think then. No, maybe you can get it. Get what? Look, we're Jews, you're not. No? I don't expect you to get what it's like, no? But the truth is, we're not really Jews either. We're not even supposed to convert anybody. But my tata is out there every day trying to get Jews to become Jews like us, no? And it goes against everything our people are supposed to be. He's just trying to get people to come back to their roots, no? We're not their roots. We're the weed that's going to kill the roots. I think you really need somebody to talk to more often, no? For the first time in her adolescence, Bethany was angry at someone.
So you have audio evidence that Swamley tried to kill you?
No, just that he was thinking about trying to kill me.
So he thought better of it?
No, he was interrupted by two Lubavitch representatives.
The ones to whom he sold 18% of the show?
Yes, the same.
And you have audio evidence of how the transaction transpired?
No, unfortunately the recorder was shut off.
Do you have copies of the contracts in which he signed your name to sell off the profits?
No.
Have you seen the contracts in which he sold the show's profits?
No.
Are you at all certain of their existence?
No.
Then finding these contracts is our first priority.
Excuse me. I'm very sorry to interrupt.
What? Is it so strange to see Rabbi Swamley? What the f*** are you doing here?
I followed you here.
You followed me here?
I had to. You weren't returning my calls. It's the only way to reach you. But you don't talk to me.
You've done this before?
All the time. Oh, my God. I'm here because I think we need to talk.
Yes, I'm sure you do think that.
Why are you not returning my calls?
You've sold off the entirety of Sharlap's share of the show's profits under his name. You got him beaten up by the Russian mob twice. And your girlfriend made him crawl out of a gym on his hands with a broken leg.
And then she billed me for the session. All right, that's no reason you don't return a friend's call.
Oh, what the f***?
No, what the f***? Somebody calls, you call them back. What are you doing here? I need to talk to you about Rebecca Breunbaum.
I give up.
She's crazy.
Oh,
Rabbi Swamley thinks Rebecca Breunbaum is crazy. We had sex in the Arona Kodesh last night.
You had sex in your shul's ark?
8 times, one on each Sefer Torah.
What?
She's a Bildechaya, clearly.
There you are!
Ah!
What are you doing at a lawyer's office?
I was looking for Chalap.
No, what are you doing at a lawyer's office?
How should we know what Chalap does when we're not around? The mamza doesn't even return my calls.
You idiot! He's here to get a legal injunction against you and maybe against me.
Boss?
Herbie, think about it. You sold off all his money. You got him beaten up 3 times, twice by the mafia. You could go to jail.
What? No, 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 no. Chalap wouldn't do that.
Herbie, you have to protect yourself.
What's there to protect?
Leave it to me. Lawyer dude, you're tape recording this, aren't you?
No.
Liar! Give me the tapes! Don't even think about using that phone. I cut the wires. Stop looking in your pockets. I drained the battery from everybody's cell phone early this morning. Now give me the tapes!
All right.
Copyright 2017, AS21 Media, LLC. All rights reserved. AS21 Media. What do you want your story to be?